Today we're wrapping up our series called Love Has a Name. If you haven't figured it out yet, this series actually, the title of it has sort of double meaning. So love has a name, and that's pretty obvious. It's the name of Jesus. The less obvious meaning then is this. We as followers of Jesus are supposed to be becoming more and more like him each and every day. And so in order to become like Jesus, we've got to learn to act like Jesus. In order to act like Jesus, we need to learn how to love like Jesus. So what I shared with you back in week one of the series was simply this. If we're going to love like Jesus, it sometimes starts as simply as just learning somebody's name. Hi, I'm Gilbert. What's your name? Oh, hi, Tom. Hi, Mary. Hi, Sue. Hi, Fred. Love has a name. It's the name of every single person that you come in contact with. And our job as followers of Jesus is to express that love of Jesus to them. And so it starts with a simple name. Hi, what's your name? Then last week I shared with you that, you know, when we talk about love, it's easy to talk about love, right? That there's this theory of, okay, here's how to love people. But as I shared with you, there's a lot of theories that we had in life that just didn't come true at all. Things like you had theories about what it was going to take to have a great marriage. A theory about what it was going to be like to raise kids, you know, so that your kids would be perfect. Now, everybody else's kids weren't perfect, but your kids were going to be perfect. You had theories on exactly how it was going to happen, and then you had kids. Then you got married. I mean, it didn't work out that way. Theories are very simple and easy to think about, but reality comes around, and then you learn something completely different, and love is the exact same way. If we're going to learn how to love like Jesus, it can't just be in theory. We actually have to love people, even though people are messy. I talked about that last week. I mean, have you met people? People are difficult sometimes. They're not easy to get along with. People are very, very messy. And so we can't just talk about loving people. We actually have to love people, love them practically. Now, the question then becomes, how do you do that? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about here today as we wrap up the series. How do we practically go about loving one another? And I'm going to suggest to you that the love of Jesus is this extravagant love, or as the band just sang, it's a reckless type of love. And so if you have a Bible today, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 7. That's where we're going to hang out today. And, you know, I could have picked a lot of different stories from Scripture to demonstrate the extravagant love that Jesus has. But the reason I chose this one was two reasons. Number one, it's not only going to be the love of Jesus that we're going to see that's extravagant, we're going to see somebody else's extravagant love in it. And the story we're going to look at is one of the few times in all of Scripture that all four gospel writers write about the same story. And so we're going to primarily be hanging out here in Luke. However, all the gospel writers write about it, so I'll give you a little bits of extra information and tidbits that the other ones sort of add in to it. So again, as you're turning to Luke chapter 7, what I want to do is welcome those of you that are watching online with us right now. There's a little button in the upper right-hand corner there called Talk Notes. If you'll just push that, that's going to give you all the scriptures we're going to be talking about here today, as well as all the main points that I'm going to be making as well. For those of you that are live here in the room, welcome to you. Many of you are here to celebrate baptism with us, and so thank you for being here and being a part of this special day for those that are special in your life. And for everybody that's here live with us, if you pull out your smartphone, you go to exponential.church, which is our website, you're going to be able to get all the talk notes there. You can find our digital program, the connection card that our worship pastor Bill just talked about. So everything you need to do is right there at exponential.church. As you continue to turn to Luke chapter 7, just a little bit of context for you. This story is taking place as Jesus is traveling around. He's doing his public ministry, and he gets to the town of Bethany. And it's there in Bethany that there's this famous Pharisee by the name of Simon. We've talked about the Pharisees before, that we talked about them last week, right? How many of you remember? How do we remember the Pharisees? They were very fair, you see, right? Yeah, that's how you remember the Pharisees. And so you've got the Pharisees, and they're the ones that ultimately end up killing Jesus. But yet all the Pharisees weren't necessarily bad guys. There were some guys like Simon that were intrigued by Jesus. They're like, could he actually be the long-awaited Messiah that we've been waiting on? And so Simon decides, you know what, I'm going to invite Jesus over to my house for dinner. He's still skeptical, but he wants to see, could this be the one? So he's willing to at least give him a chance, give him a shot. Listen to what Jesus has to say and get to know who he is and a little bit of what he's all about. All right, so you got this scene in your mind, right? This famous Pharisee invites Jesus over to his house. And that's where we'll pick up the story then. In Luke chapter 7, verse 37, we read this. When a sinful woman in that town found out that Jesus was there, she bought an expensive bottle of perfume. Now, to be clear, this wasn't just any sinful woman. This was a prostitute by the name of Mary. We find that out from one of the other gospel writers. Her name is Mary. And what does she do for a living? She is a prostitute. So she buys this expensive bottle of perfume. We'll continue on then in verse 38. Because what's going to happen is a shock. Here's what we read. She came into the home and approached Jesus from behind. As she did, she began weeping. Next, she knelt down, wetting his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the perfume. Again, picture this scene in your mind. You've got this famous Pharisee, this cultural elite, this religious elite who invites Jesus into his home. He's wanting to have a meal with Jesus when all of a sudden an intruder just comes into the house. But this isn't just any intruder. This is a prostitute. And she basically throws herself at Jesus' feet. She gets down on her knees. She's crying on his feet. She's wiping the tears off of his feet with her hair. And then she takes out this expensive perfume and she's anointing his feet with it. And to top it all off, she's actually getting down and she's kissing his feet. Imagine this, somebody in your home, those of you online right now, as you're watching me, imagine somebody breaking into your home. And all of a sudden they come to your guest and they start to kiss their feet and they're anointing their feet. What would you do? I mean, that'd be so weird. And I want you to think about how scandalous this would have been. This prostitute, this known prostitute, throwing herself at the feet of this man. And this isn't just an ordinary man. This is God in the flesh. This is Jesus. This is a huge no-no. I mean, it's almost like this intimate moment almost. Kissing his feet and massaging his feet with this oil. Are you picturing this in your mind? Just how outrageous this would have been. But you know what? Mary doesn't care. She is showing Jesus extravagant love. Why? Because she knows that he's the Messiah. And she knows that he is the only one that can forgive her of her sin. She doesn't care about anybody else. The only person in the room that she cares about is Jesus. He's the only one that matters to her. Now think about Jesus for a second. Jesus is sitting there. He's talking to Simon. His disciples are there in the room. This woman comes up from behind, throws herself at his feet. If you're Jesus, how are you going to respond to that? What's your response going to be? It's very obvious who she is. She's a prostitute. Or how about if you're Simon? You're sitting there and you have like this very important guest of honor that you've invited over. And somebody's broken into your home and throws themselves, this prostitute, at his feet. What are you going to do if you're Simon? How about the disciples? They're going, are we supposed to like go like rip her off of him, like Secret Service, you know, or something? You know, what are we supposed to do here? Is Jesus okay with this? We do know from one of the other gospel writers that they were thinking, oh my goodness, all that perfume, you know how much that was worth? And actually, we read she had dumped out a year's worth of salary of perfume to anoint him. And they're going, Jesus, dude, we have like no money for our ministry. I mean, we're just this ragtag group of people traveling all throughout Israel. We're barely eating. We barely have enough, you know, to keep traveling from place to place. You should have stopped her. She's wasting all this. And even if we didn't use it for our ministry, do you realize, Jesus, how much that could have gone to the poor and to help the poor? Again, think about this in your mind. You've got all these people sitting around and this scandalous thing happens. How is Jesus going to respond to it? Well, what's interesting is Jesus decides to address everybody else in the room before he actually talks to Mary. Here's what we read in verse 39. The Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this and did what? He said to himself, right? He's just thinking this. He said to himself, if this man really were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. He would know that she is a sinner. Now, here's the thing about Jesus. He knows exactly what Simon is thinking. Now, is it because Jesus is God and he's using his God powers, you know, to read Simon's mind? He's like, okay, I know exactly what he's thinking. Or is it that Simon is going, I have a feeling it's probably that the look on his face was like a sheer horror. That, oh my goodness, this woman has thrown himself or herself at his feet. And what are we going to do about all this? Jesus knows what he's thinking. And so Jesus decides to do what Jesus typically does, tell a story. And I'm not going to read it to you from Scripture here. I'm just going to summarize it for you. But it's basically this, and I'll put it into more American terms for you. Jesus says, hey, Simon, got a question for you. Simon's like, yeah, what's that? And Jesus says, Simon, if there were like two men that owed money to a bank, like one owed $1 million to the bank, and the other guy owed $50 to the bank, but yet then the bank came along and said to both of these men, you know what? Your debt is forgiven. Simon, which one do you think would be more grateful for that? Simon goes, well, I suppose it'd be the guy that owed $1 million. You know, he owed $1 million and that's been forgiven. The other guy, I mean, $50, that's not a whole lot. Yeah, he's grateful for it, but not as much as the guy with $1 million. And Jesus goes, exactly, exactly. And then Jesus says these words in verses 44 to 47. It says, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only a little love. The only thing more extravagant in this story than Mary throwing herself at Jesus' feet is Jesus' response back to her. From the very moment that Mary had come into that room, Jesus knew who she was. Jesus knew her story. Jesus knew how she had gotten into prostitution to begin with. What was it that drove her to choose that as a career? Jesus knew all of her faults. He knew all of her sins. He knew all of her mistakes, but yet he chooses to love her and forgive her anyway. Even though a prominent citizen of the community had invited Jesus in, to Jesus, what Mary did was not a distraction. No, it was the focus. Let me say that again. What Mary did in this situation was not a distraction to Jesus. No, Jesus made it the very focus of his ministry in that moment. And I want you to notice that Jesus was talking to Simon, but yet what we read there is he had turned and was looking at Mary. He's looking at Mary, but yet he's making this point to Simon. What he's doing is he's making her the center of the conversation, not some sort of afterthought. He's condemning her, or not condemning her, he's actually praising her. He's not pushing her away, he's actually drawing her in. And then he drops this truth bomb. Look at verse 48. We read, then Jesus said to the woman, "Your what? Your sins are forgiven." Your sins are forgiven. You know what? That's what we're celebrating here today. The reason so many of you have shown up is baptism is all about people saying, you know what? I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus has the power over sin. And so I'm asking for his forgiveness in my life. But I'm not just asking for his forgiveness so I get a get out of hell free card. No, I'm giving him full control of my life. I'm making him the leader of my life, or the more theological term would be the Lord of my life. I'm asking for his forgiveness. I'm asking for his leadership. And it's no longer about me anymore. From now on, I'm going to live for Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what baptism is about. Because when you pray that prayer and you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the leader of your life, it's not a thing that God says, okay, now you got to go out and like talk to every single person in your life and tell them. That's not what he says to do. He doesn't say, get on the social media, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and like announce to everybody, hey, I'm a Christian now. That's not what he says to do. Jesus says the proof, the sign to others that you're really my follower is water baptism. That when we take the people out here in just a little bit and we put them in the pool there, they're going to be standing there. And what that represents is the watery grave of Jesus. And so they're going to be standing there as their old life. We're going to put them under the water just like Jesus was in the tomb. And I'm going to hold them under for 3 days. All right, it's going to be a little quicker than that. I'm going to put them under the water. That represents them dying to their old self, to their old life. And then when we bring them back up out of the water, that's identifying with Jesus rising again from the dead. Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered sin. And that's what baptism is all about. You're saying, it's no longer about me. It's all about Jesus. I'm identifying with him in his life, death, burial, and then his resurrection. That's baptism. And so I'm so excited. This is like one of our Super Bowls of the year, you know, Christmas and Easter and Baptism Day. To celebrate with these four individuals, and maybe some of you are going to spontaneously go, you know what, I've never been baptized. I need to be baptized. We've almost always have that happen, that somebody else goes, I need to do that. And you know what? I don't care that you didn't come prepared. God knows that you needed to do this, right? And so if you need to be baptized today, we'll give you a towel, we'll give you stuff, you know, you get baptized today. But it's signifying to others the decision that you made. The way I always liken it is it's like your wedding ring. A wedding ring does not make you married. A wedding ring is signifying to other people that you're married. Your spouse already knows that you're married. You don't wear that for them. They already know. And in the same way, Jesus already knows if you truly have him as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. He already knows that. But he says, I want you to show proof to the world of the decision that you've made. And so that's, again, what baptism is all about. So congratulations. Can we give those that are going to be baptized here a big hand? We're going to cheer and we're going to applaud them later, but let's go ahead and give them a big hand right now just to continue to encourage them in the decision that they're making. Getting back to the story then, after Jesus had just looked at her and said, your sins are forgiven, both Matthew and Mark add this little extra bit to the story. We'll read it from Mark 14:9. Jesus says this, "I guarantee you this, wherever the gospel is preached in the world, what she, Mary, has done will be told in memory of her." And this is so cool. I get to be a fulfillment today of Jesus' prophecy. That this story of Mary that I'm telling you, Jesus said, it's going to continue to be told throughout all time. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and we're still telling her story of extravagant love. So what can we learn from this story of Mary and what she did, her extravagant love, and the extravagant love that Jesus showed? If you're taking notes, here's our big thought for the day. Instead of seeing people as a distraction, I must instead see them as an opportunity to demonstrate extravagant love. Let me read that for you again. Get this down. Get it in your heart. Get it into your life. Instead of seeing people as a distraction, I must instead see them as an opportunity to demonstrate extravagant love. Here's my question for you today. Who is a distraction for you? Right now in your life, who's a distraction for you? Online, who's a distraction for you? Who's that person that's a little bit difficult to get along with? I like to call them sandpaper people. You know what I mean? They just sort of, they rub you the wrong way. My friend Dan is here today. Dan, if you can just sort of wave to everybody so they can see, there he is, over there. Dan is somebody I've known since the day I became a Christian. In fact, just a couple days ago, July 27th was my spiritual birthday. July 27th, 1993, I became a follower of Jesus. And 28 years ago now that that happened. And Dan was at the church that I got saved down in Maryland. And Dan was somebody that came alongside and discipled me. And one of the things, you know, Dan and I talked about, we were really big on groups. And our little joke was this, that some people are EGRs. EGRs, you know what that stands for? Extra grace required. How many of you here in the room, and those of you online, how many of you know a couple people in your life that they did, a little extra grace is required? You know what I'm saying? Extra grace required. You got some of those, don't you? You got that nosy neighbor, right? They're always up in your business. You got that person at work. They've got some annoying habits, and you're like, oh, please stop. But they keep doing it over and over and over and over again. You've got that family member, the friend of yours, that they become a huge conspiracy theorist. Like, everything is conspiracy. Everybody's against us. You got some people like that in your life? You know what I'm saying? Some EGRs. My point is this. Instead of seeing those people as a distraction in your life, instead, see them as an opportunity for you to demonstrate extravagant love to them in some way. See, the people that the world often calls outcasts and misfits and sinners, you know, these sinners like Mary, she was a sinner. We don't want to have anything to do with those types of people. Instead of seeing people like that, we need to be different. We need to be like Jesus. Again, we're not just to know about Jesus. We're not just to ask him for his forgiveness so we can get out of hell. No, we're to be becoming more and more like Jesus. And in order to become like Jesus, you got to learn how to love like Jesus did. And so Jesus didn't see Mary as a distraction. He saw her as a divine opportunity to make a difference, not only in her life, but in the lives of all those that were listening. You're going, yeah, but Gilbert, if I do that with, you know, people, I'm going to have other people that they're going to be like offended that I would even talk to somebody like that or help somebody like that. Or they're going to say things behind my back. I'm going to get a lot of negative feedback. But did Jesus care what everybody else in the room thought? Did Mary care what everybody else in the room thought? No. Jesus demonstrates this extravagant love. She wasn't a distraction. She was somebody that mattered to him. And so he wanted to show her that and demonstrate that to her. You see, at the end of the day, every single human being that you lock eyes with wants to know, do I matter or not? Do I matter or not? Do people really care about me? Do people really love me? Are people really here to help me in any way? And so that's why here at Exponential, one of our big core values is you matter. You matter to God and you matter to me as well. Every single person you come in contact with, all those of you watching online, I know not all of you are here in the Harrisburg area. I know we got people today that I saw in the chat that tuning in from Virginia and tuning in from out in like Pittsburgh. And I know we got North Carolina online. We got New York online. We got Washington State online. We got people all over. It doesn't matter where you are in this country. It doesn't matter where you are in this world. Every single person you lock eyes with is somebody that Jesus died for. And they matter to him, and so they have got to matter to you as well. And so our job is every single day and every single way and every single person we come in contact with, treat them in a way that, you know what, you matter to God, and so therefore you matter to me. And I'm going to demonstrate this extravagant love to you. And you don't just do that for the lovely people. You do that for the sandpaper people. You do that for the EGRs. You do that for that coworker, that neighbor, that person that's become a conspiracy theorist. You do it for everybody. Doesn't matter who they are. You love them. Now, is that going to take some time of yours? Yep. Is it going to cost you something? Probably. Is it going to be worth it? Definitely. Most definitely. You know, throughout the series, we've been talking about love. But love isn't a word. Love isn't a feeling. Love isn't something you just say to the lovely. Love is a verb. Love is an action. Love is something that you do. And Jesus demonstrated that for us by going to the cross on our behalf. In other words, Jesus showed extravagant love, and so must we. The temptation, though, is this, to go, well, I'll start to love people when they start to love me back. Doesn't work that way. The Apostle Paul at one point, he said, God loved us even while we were still in our sins. He demonstrated his love for us while we were still in our sins. And how did God demonstrate his love for us? How did he do it? Shout it out. You know it. He went to the cross and he died for us. Jesus died on the cross while we were still in our sins. He didn't say, okay, everybody, like, start to clean up your act a little bit, then I'll die on your behalf. You become lovely, then I'll do it. No, while we were still our worst, while we were still just in our sin, in the muck and the mire of sin, the scandal of sin, the darkness of sin, Jesus died. Jesus showed extravagant love. So we've got to do the same. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. Our job is to love them, to show them that you matter to God and you matter to me as well. That has to be our attitude. Again, in order to live like Jesus, you've got to learn how to love like Jesus. And you serve other people, even if they're not serving you. You serve other people. You love other people with zero strings attached. Here's the thing about loving like that. Most people, eventually that love becomes contagious. And they go, there's something different about you. I need whatever it is about you, because I'm realizing I'm not a lovely person, but yet you keep loving me. I'm not an easy person to get along with, but yet you keep loving me. What's different about you? And that's your opportunity to share about Jesus then. But here's the deal. Even if it doesn't change them, your extravagant love, even if it doesn't change them, guess who it will change? You. It's going to change you, because all of a sudden, you're not thinking about all the other things that the world is thinking about. You're just thinking about each and every person that's right there. And to you, they're the only person in the room. And you're going, how can I show this extravagant love to them? How can I serve them in some way? And what you'll figure out is as you think about yourself less, things are so much better. Not only will you become a more loving person, but now you're going to have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, which Scripture says is the fruit of the Spirit. How do we know that you're truly a follower of Jesus? It's not because you say that you're a follower of Jesus. It's because to others it's evident that, wow, look how loving and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Look at all these things that they have in their lives. Their lives have changed. So again, I'm going to encourage you today to ask yourself this question. Simply this. Who can I love extravagantly? Who can I love extravagantly? Who is it in your life right now that you know that you need to love them extravagantly? And you know what? It doesn't always have to be a difficult person like we talked about earlier. Who's the unseen person? Who's the person that seems like they've been left behind? Maybe it's a new coworker. They just moved into town. They don't know anybody yet. They're lonely. This is your opportunity to come and show extravagant love in some way. For those of you that are students, who's that kid at school that year after year after year after year at school, they're sort of always off by themselves. They're a loner a little bit. They're always sitting by themselves at the lunch table. This is your chance to go and show extravagant love and show them that you matter. Maybe for you, it's a neighbor. You always drive by and you see him and maybe you give him a wave and you always think, you know what, I should probably stop and talk to him because it doesn't seem like they really know a lot of people. This week, stop and actually get to know their name, get to know their story, and think about how can I show and demonstrate extravagant love in some way. Or maybe it's somebody at a nursing home. You know that they don't get a lot of visitors, that they're sort of feeling left behind. All their generation has died, and maybe they have family members that live, you know, out of state somewhere. Go and show them extravagant love. Again, it's not only going to change them, but it's going to help to change you as well. Stop overthinking it and just do it. And even if it's just a small way, even if it's just a couple minutes, even if it's just a couple dollars, make that sacrifice. Show them that you matter to God and you matter to me as well. And so we have got to learn how to love like Mary loved Jesus, an extravagant love where she said, you know what, I'm going to pour out everything that I have, my entire wealth, everything, my reputation, everything. I'm just laying it at the feet of Jesus. We need to learn how to extravagantly love like Mary did. And we need to have an extravagant love like Jesus had for Mary, that he saw Mary as the only person in the room. Yeah, he was still talking to Simon. He was still making a point, but she was the center of the conversation. So can you do that for others? When you're talking, don't see them as a distraction. See them as the focal point. See them as somebody that you can make a difference in their lives. And then finally, we need to learn to extravagantly love like God the Father did. How did God the Father extravagantly love us? He loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gift he gave me 28 years ago. Last week. And that's the gift he wants to give to you today. Some of you have never began a relationship with Jesus. Today is the day to do that. Today is the day to commit your life to him fully, to pray and ask for his forgiveness, to pray and ask for his leadership. Same for those of you online. Some of you are hearing this and you've never started a relationship with Jesus, and today is the day to do that. Even while we were still yet sinners, Jesus died for us. An extravagant love. And so for us to learn to be like Jesus and live like Jesus, we've got to learn how to love like Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these past couple weeks as we've looked at what your love is really all about. And we've learned how to just love people by learning their names and getting to know their stories and not loving people in theory, but practically going out of our way to, as we learned today then, extravagantly love other people, to show people that you matter to God and you matter to me. And so, Lord, for everybody that's here today, everybody that's watching online, I just pray that we would never, ever see a human being again and not realize that this is somebody that Jesus died for. And since Jesus loves them so much, then I need to love them the same way, extravagantly. And so I need to show them that you matter to God and you matter to me as well. Through my words, through all my actions, through my giving, through my serving, through everything, I'm just going to extravagantly love everybody that I come in contact with. And Lord, I realize that there are probably some people that are here today with us that have never made a decision to follow you. Some that are watching online or watching this online sometime in the future. Lord, I pray that your Spirit has been speaking and your Spirit has just been helping them to understand that the love of Jesus is just so immense. It's so great that if he would forgive a prostitute like Mary, then wow, maybe there's a shot that Jesus would forgive somebody like me. And so, Lord, I just want to assure people that you do love all people and that there is no sin that is too great to be forgiven. That no matter what we've done in our past, no matter how much we've hurt people or hurt ourselves, Jesus, you still want a relationship with us and you still are offering that gift of not just eternal life with you forever, but an abundant life right here and right now where we can have more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. So Lord, again, I pray that you would speak to hearts and lives. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed here in the room, if you have never prayed and asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you've never asked him to come in and take control of your life, and you want to give him full control today, I'm just going to ask you, when I count to three here in just a moment, just to slip your hand up nice and high so I can see it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody else is going to see it. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up and you look up at me and give me eye contact. I'll acknowledge you in the room and then you can put your hand back down. So again, if you're ready today to start a relationship with Jesus so that you can not only go to heaven forever, but have an abundant life right here and right now and be changed by him, that's true of you. On the count of three, just raise your hand up nice and high. Ready? One, two, three, put your hand up nice and high. Yep, sir, right over here, I see that hand. Anybody else? Yep, down here, I see that hand. Anybody else? Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Take control of my life. I need you. You can put your hand down here. Yep, you guys can put your hand down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Take control. It's not about me anymore. I need you. Listen, I don't want to belabor this any, but none of us know when death is coming for us. And what you have done with Jesus, the decision you've made about Jesus, it's all about what you've done in this life. You don't die and then get a chance to accept Jesus' offer of forgiveness and his leadership. You have to do it here. Again, none of us know the day or hour that death is coming for us. So don't let this moment slip by. If your heart's beating really fast right now and you're like, man, I probably should be the person that raises my hand and does this, today is the day to do it. Again, we're not going to call you out anyway. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm the only one that knows. So one last chance. If you want to pray and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, be the leader of your life, put your hand up nice and high so I can see it. Yep. All right. We've got that one down there. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. I'm going to ask everybody here, and I'll ask everybody online as well, just pray this prayer with me out loud. Just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth, living a perfect and sinless life, dying on the cross so that my sins might be forgiven. I have not been perfect, and I need you not just to forgive me, but to help me from this day forward. And so from now on, I ask that your Spirit would lead me, guide me, and direct me. It's not about me anymore. It's all about you. And so I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll give what you want me to give. I'll serve who you want me to serve. And I'm going to love extravagantly. Jesus, thank you for those that have prayed that prayer for the first time today. Maybe there were some that they didn't raise their hand or some that are online that they prayed that prayer for the very first time. We thank you for that. And we know that this is just the beginning of the journey for them. And so, Lord, I pray that myself and this church and others would come alongside them now and love them and pray for them and support them and encourage them and sometimes give them a good swift kick in the rear end when they get off the track just to bring them back. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you did that for me. Thank you that you did that for so many that are in the room, so many that are watching online. We're just so excited that more and more people are becoming a part of your family. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Hey, can we give those that made a decision to follow Jesus here a big hand? That's awesome. Congratulations to you. And again, the next step after praying that prayer is baptism. So if you're not already signed up to be baptized and you want to be baptized, hey, there's a pool set up right outside, right ready to go. And we could do that at the end of today's worship experience. As I said earlier, you know, I do doesn't mean I'm done when it comes to a marriage. You know, the ring is just symbolic. But when you stand before God and you stand before family and you say, I do, and you put that ring on, you say to everybody, hey, we're married now. That isn't the end of the journey. And it's the same way with Jesus. When you pray and you ask for his forgiveness and you ask for his leadership, that's just the start of the journey. And so what we want to do is for those of you that have made a decision to follow him here today and those of you that have done it online as well, I've put together a booklet, basically. It's about 14 pages long about what are the next steps you need to take now in this journey with Jesus. How do you pray? How do you read your Bible? Why is church important? Why is serving important? All these various steps that you should be taking as you begin the journey. So if you're interested in that, those of you online, there's actually a link that's popping up in the chat right down here for you, right? Yep, right. It's right there. Yep. Right there for you to hit that. And so if you want to push that, we'll get that out to you. For those of you that are here live with us, you can go to our website, exponential.church, or those of you online that are watching sometime in the future, go to our website, exponential.church, and you're able to get the information there as well. Just put that on a connection card that I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me my sins, be the leader of my life, and we'll get that information out to you. So, hey, let's once again just give those who made a decision apologies if they can.